Please take your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 this morning. And I want to ask God's wisdom and guidance before we study this passage here today. Father, we thank you for giving us your word, everything we need for life and godliness. I pray that you would use this passage both for mothers and for all of us to learn to be more like Jesus. Pray that you give me wisdom and clarity to explain this passage and that you would use it in our heart. Take your spirit by your word and make us from the inside out to be like Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Being Like a Mother, Being Like a Mother. Today is Mother's Day. And we should be thankful for and seek to honor our mother. But why? Have you thought about that? Because of our mother's role in our lives, not just keeping us alive. So some of us and some of you, that was a lot harder job than others, right? Mothers of young boys especially have to be on their toes. I remember as an 8-year-old, I got an axe. And shortly thereafter, while my parents were in Israel, I proceeded to split my leg open with that axe. I ended up with 3 stitches. The doctor said it really wasn't as bad as it looked, but, you know, I still have scars from knives and things like that we had as kids. There was one time when my parents got naturalized. We went into the federal courthouse, and, you know, even back then, this was pre-9/11 and everything, but still, we had to go through the metal detectors, and all of us boys emptied our pockets with all the knives, and the guard jokingly said, "All right, where's the switchblade?" That's just a little snapshot into the life of probably my mother with 5 boys and 3 girls. She had to be on her toes at times. We're thankful that they kept us alive, but we should also be thankful for helping us to mold us into the person that we are today and loving us at all times. Even when we didn't deserve it, even when we were being that cranky, miserable child that needed some remedial discipline, still they loved us. And thank our mother for that. In this passage here today in 1 Thessalonians 2, 7 through 9, Paul uses the role of a mother to explain to the Thessalonian believers how he cared for them. And I think this should challenge us to learn to care for others in a similar way today. So to be like a mother. The book of 1 Thessalonians is written to prepare the people for the second coming of Christ. It is likely the first New Testament teaching on that topic, but it is also probably maybe even the first New Testament letter of Paul's, depending on how you view the book of Galatians. But if you remember how the church in Thessalonica came about, back from the book of Acts, in chapter 17, Paul was only here a couple weeks before he got forced out. The riots that took place, the Jews that got upset and chased him out of town. And so they haven't been taught much. They're very young in the faith, in a sense, baby Christians. And so it's appropriate that Paul uses this language. He seeks to encourage them. Chapters 1, 2 through 6, and chapter 2, 13 through 16, he praises them for their salvation and spiritual growth, right? You do that with your children. You praise them, encourage them, especially the younger they are. They need that. You know, it's been said about little kids, right? We teach them, you know, praise them to walk and talk, and then for the first 2 years of their life, and then we, for the next 16, try to get them to sit down and shut up, right? You know, this is the role of a mother at times, seemingly contradictory. Paul is doing that. He's encouraging them. And then he explains his previous conduct to them in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, why he did what he did when he was with them. Then his later desire to see them. You know, I'm going to come, which is also good, right? Remind your kids, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be home. So make sure you pay attention, do what you're supposed to. Probably some of that going on here. His concern for them in chapter 3, 1 through 5, which Timothy had brought good news to him that actually things are going well. They are listening. And then he prays for them in chapter 3, 11 through 13. We should be praying for our children, right? Nothing drives you to prayer more than kids that are struggling. And we have actually one of our booklets over there is praying for your children. I encourage you to read that if you haven't. But then chapters 4 and 5, he challenges and comforts them, right? Challenges them to how they should be living on a daily basis, and then the comfort of the rapture and the return of Christ. And they need to be ready for that. Watch. Wake up. Don't be drunk. Don't be like those that sleep at night. Watch and be ready. Because ready or not, here I come. And then he finishes up with some miscellaneous items and commands in chapter 5, right? So just to give you an overview, but here Paul is taking time to explain his care for the Thessalonian believers. And from this, you know, as he compares it to a mother, I think from his comparison, we can learn about being like a mother by asking and answering three questions from these verses, chapter 2, 7 through 9. And this is not just for ladies, though they're particular application, but it is for all of us as we learn, should learn to be like Jesus. So what are these questions? Question number one here from chapter 2 is, are you gentle and cherishing like a mother? Verse 7, we were gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. Paul is explaining how he and his co-workers were gentle. They truly cared for the believers there, right? That they were giving of their lives. And then he compares it to being a nursing mother who cherishes and comforts her own children. And if you've ever seen a mother with her baby, it is a very intimate, gentle time as the baby is welcomed and coddled and cared for. Now, this isn't, not that this is, you know, that only mothers care for their children. Chapter, or later in verse 11, he's going to talk about dads caring for their children as well. But moms and dads care differently, right? I mean, they show it in different ways. And especially as you think about that nursing moment, cherishing and comforting your child. It's always interesting when a child gets hurt, especially a young child, who do they go to? Mom. Right? They run to mom. Dad can be right there. And I've had this happen to me, right? We're standing beside each other. I'm even closer. But who do they run to? Mom. Right? Because that's the one they're comforted by quicker. And that's a good thing. That's the way God has made it. I notice this with my kids, especially the boys. They want to crawl up onto mom's lap and hugs and snuggles, especially if they're hurt and sad. Right? They want that time, and it's always kind of a bit sad when they outgrow that. And, you know, they still get hugs, but it's not quite the same when you can't crawl up into mom's lap anymore. That's just a little different. But it's something special about that bond, that gentle and cherishing like a mother. Are you thankful for a mother who is gentle and nourishing and cherishing? If so, tell her so. Don't assume she knows that. You know, it's like it's been said, there's an old joke about a husband and wife who are going down the road, and the wife says, you know, you don't tell me you love me anymore. You know, she's like, well, I told you on our wedding day that I love you, and if anything changes, I'll tell you different. Right? That's not a good policy to have with your mom. My mom always insisted on getting a kiss when we left, especially leaving to go to college or whatever. Right? And her big strapping boys, you know, that was still important to her to show the love. And I'll give her a call today, make sure we talk and express our love. Are you seeking to become more gentle and cherishing? And not just if you're a lady. This comes more naturally to ladies, but guys, Jesus was this. Scripture talks about this. He is the good shepherd. John chapter 10, 11 through 14. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He doesn't abandon them when the wolves come and the threats are there. But it says in verse 14, I'm a good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. You think about Psalm 23. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it describes what does he do? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. Leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's the right way. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He's with us each step of the way. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me, which, if you know anything about shepherds, there's Keller's book on a shepherd's look at the 23rd Psalm. It's very insightful. Those are not, those are actually the things to bring us back into line. And he loves us so much that he will do that as well. When we're starting to stray, he will bring us back. And the farther we stray, it might have to be a little more forceful. All because he loves us. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, whether it's medicinal or whether it's, you know, rejoicing. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the comfort that Jesus brings to us as our shepherd. Also described in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. He will take care of us like that. I'm thankful for a shepherd that does that with us. Hebrews 13, 20, 21. Now may the God of peace who brought you up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. He is our shepherd. And it's through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will. Right? As the shepherd, he equips us, enables us to do. It's all through Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So it is our call, in light of 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, as a servant of the Lord, must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, and humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth. We need to be like him. Now, in the context, this is talking to pastors. But he goes on later in Titus 3 to say to all Christians, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak to evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. So are all of us, right? I mean, what is a pastor but someone that you can see Christ in? That's what it should be. To someone, to follow the shepherd, the under-shepherd, following the chief shepherd, as 1 Peter chapter 5 explains. We're called to be like him. John 13, 15 says, do as I have done. So don't just assume this is for ladies to be gentle and caring. This is for us, all of us. 2 Thessalonians 3, 9, you know, Paul says that not because we're without authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. He says, follow my example. 1 Peter 5, 3 and 1 Timothy 4, 12. Again, or Philippians 4, 13. All calling to follow the example that he has set. And this is what pastors should do. Are you gentle and cherishing, or harsh and cold? Are you gentle and cherishing like a mother? First question. Second question. Are you affectionate and giving like a mother? Paul goes on to say, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul is explaining how he and his co-workers are affectionately longing. They had this brotherly love for them, as Romans 12:10 explains, as believers. And they were well pleased to impart, to share with them, not only the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for us. As he said in verse 2, but even after we suffered before, we were spitefully treated at Philippi. As you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. Even in the face of opposition, he shared the gospel. He's going to say in verse 9 that we preached to you the gospel. Weren't a burden as we did it. He was bold in doing that. And that's our job. That was his job as an apostle. It's a job of all of us as Christians to share the good news, to be witnesses, as Acts 1, 8 says, of Jesus. He wasn't that, but he also shared his life with them. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Paul says, "And I will be very gladly be spent and or spend and be spent for your souls. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." And Paul did that, modeled that for us. A brilliant man, and yet he worked so intense so that he could have the freedom to share the gospel without there being any question of his motives. He says, 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down," that's Christ, "laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren." That's Christ's example. And then as Paul commends the Corinthians, or the Macedonians, to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 8:5, "Not only as we had hope, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God." So he gave themselves, not just their stuff, not just their money, but gave themselves. And especially, I think that is probably our more valuable commodity today, is our time than our money as Americans. Sometimes easier to give 20 bucks than it is to take the time to help somebody. Paul did that. He gave of his life because he loved them. It says in Philippians 4, he calls them beloved. And for Philippians 1, 7 through 8, he's longing to see them. I see this modeled in my wife. She shows affection to her kids. She gives of herself, though. I'm impressed with her generosity. You know, she won't spend much on it. She has a problem, feels guilty when she spends it on herself, but she has no problem spending it for the kids. Right? Because the mother's heart to be generous to her kids. Are you thankful for a mother who is affectionate and giving? Tell her so. "I'm thankful that God made men and women differently. He designed them to be more naturally loving and giving for their children." This is why in Ephesians 5, it tells the man, the husband, to love his wife. It doesn't tell the wife to love her husband. Now, biblically, yes, she does. She needs to do that. Titus 2 does talk about that. But in the context, that's what the man needs help with. We're a little more, you know, not naturally geared that way, right? But what does it tell the woman to? She needs to respect her husband, to submit in the marriage relationship, as the church does to Christ. You see, God has made men and women differently. And we live in the midst of a society that is trying to blur that distinction, change that distinction. And it's not good. It seeks to harden girls to be like men today, instead of encouraging them to fulfill their God-given role. This is not, we're not trying to, you know, say that men and women are, you know, one is better than the other, right? We are, the reason each of us has value is because we are made in the image of God. And just because we're different doesn't make us inferior or less. The weaker vessel, as Scripture describes it, is not a bad thing. In fact, it tells the husband in 1 Peter 3:7 to value your wife more because she is the weaker vessel. And the idea is there is that she's like fine china. What do you do with fine china? Well, you don't use it like the plastic plates that you throw around with the kids. It's the reason we don't give our kids the Noritake china that we have in our cabinet until they've shown some responsibility. And even then, it's a bit with fear and trepidation. That stuff came all the way from Japan, from our grandmother, right? But you give them the plastic plates and cups. No problem with those. Break it, throw it away, get another one, right? You see the difference? There's value. God has made us perfectly for the roles that He's given us. And you as a wife and mother, it's a beautiful thing when you accept it and embrace it. Are you seeking to become more affectionate and giving? And not just as a lady. Do you realize that this is being like God our Father and Jesus, who laid down His life for us? John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the love of God for us. But the love of Jesus for us John 3:16-18, by this we know love. Why? Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for his brethren. But what does that actually look like? It's one thing to say, yeah, I'll give my life for my family. But to actually do that, what does he explain? Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide him? You want to really know if you love somebody? Will you share your stuff? Right? It's one thing to say you'll give your life, but will you give up your things? My little children, let us not love in word or in deed, but in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Are we loving like Jesus? He showed us. He went to the extreme, right? And God doesn't necessarily call us to die for other people, though some do. But will you do that daily? Will you give of yourself? Ephesians 5:2, and he walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And guys, are you loving your wife like Jesus did? You know, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for her. Right? What does that mean? Nourishing and cherishing her as you do yourself. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. It's an easy trap to fall into. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. So very practical. When you don't, your prayers will be hindered. Are we doing this? Are you giving of yourself? And then are you giving of the gospel? That's the best gift you can give, right? Romans 10. This means giving of your time, your effort, and maybe even your money. It's where you'd be willing to do Bible studies with people. Take the time to help your neighbor. To share your resources that you have. To help those in need. To be a blessing and a comfort to those who are going through hard times. Are you affectionate and giving like a mother? And then the last question. Are you laboring and toiling like a mother? In verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, we preach to you the gospel of God. Paul is explaining, he's calling them to remember how he and his co-workers labored. 1 Corinthians 4:12, he worked with his hands. Or Galatians 4:19, there he even compares it to laboring in birth, giving birth. They toiled, how? As tent makers. You see that in Acts 18 and verse 3 and Acts 20 verse 34. We got to be in Corinth and see where he and Priscilla and Aquila probably set up shop. Maybe one of those strip malls there there was that there, but in the midst of that. But as the malls that lined the way there in town. He worked hard so that he wouldn't have he be a burden to them. Wouldn't there be any question of his motives? No. And he did this night and day. And he later tells the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 3:8 that he did this for them as well, not to burden them as they preached the gospel of God. I watched my wife work night and day. Over the years, getting up in the middle of the night, taking care of the kids. I was amazed that she bolts out of bed when, you know, I can sleep right through them sometimes. Right? One cry. She knows her own kids. It's funny, though. There are other places you hear kids cry and didn't bother her then. But, you know, it's your own kids. You know that. Nursing them through the sickness. Feeding them. The cooking and the canning that she does, the hard work with the garden, the last few days we've been putting that in and, you know, using muscles that you don't normally use. The shopping, which my wife's not a great shopper. She doesn't love to shop, but she does it for our family to make sure that we are fed and clothed. Making birthdays special. Celebrating those days. Schooling our children. Long hours. The work that she puts in, and the tears that go into teaching our children piano some days. It is the laboring and toiling of a mother. Are you thankful for a mother who labors and toils? Tell her so. Kids too often take their moms for granted, right? They drop the clothes on the floor, the toys, the dishes. You know, they scarf the food down and complain about it. I know, I've been there. Mom who chauffeurs you from place to place and, you know, Mom, you know, I need to be here. Or the night before a science project is due, you drop that on your mom, right? Or whatever project it is. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. All these roles that she fills. Are you seeking to become better at laboring and toiling? All of us should be, right? Do you realize we are made to work? And this is not part of the curse. Genesis 2:15. Right? You put Adam and Eve in the garden to tend and to keep it. And that was before the fall. Now, work became hard because of the curse. Genesis 3, 17 through 19. But Paul left an example. In fact, he's going to tell the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 through 10. That you know, he talks about his example in laboring for them. You know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you. We did nor eat anyone's bread free of charge, but work with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. And they had the right to do this. But it says, we make ourselves an example how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither should he eat. That's the biblical principle. You should eat because you work, right? You provide for your own needs. And if you don't work, you should go hungry. Now, not those who can't work for themselves. We should provide for them. But if you're able-bodied, you should work. Now, those who are such, we command and exhort you through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. How you work affects your testimony for Christ. So think about that. Are you laboring and toiling like that? Ephesians 4:28. Also, he's going to tell them in chapter 4 here in 1 Thessalonians 4 that you should also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and they may lack nothing. In Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good that he may have to give to him who has need. So you work hard for yourself, but also to have the extra to give to others. This is how we should be doing. And are we doing this not just for ourselves, but for the Lord? As we do all, should be doing all things, as 1 Corinthians 10:31. Otherwise, it's all empty. It's all vanity, grasping after the wind. As if you've studied through Ecclesiastes, it's where it's nothing. You may die with a lot of stuff, but you leave it all behind. Are you laboring and toiling like a mother? This last week, I found this little article from a website. I thought it was really good. The lady says, this is from Ava Pennington in her blog, Applying Deep Truth to Deepen Faith. I spent more than 20 years in corporate human resources and reviewed more job descriptions than I can count. Those job descriptions were especially useful in determining the best candidate when recruiting. But there's one position which I'm thankful I never had to recruit, the position of a mother. I twitch at the thought of recruiting one person to fill all the duties of a mom. The job description would have to include all the following and more beside: accountant, baker, chauffeur, cheerleader, chef, coach, counselor, decorator, entertainer, financial planner, gardener, hairstylist, handyman, hostess, housekeeper, janitor, juggler, manager, nanny, nurse, nutritionist, paramedic, party planner, photographer, referee, secretary, spiritual advisor, storyteller, teacher, waitress, zookeeper, some of you, you know what that is, and more, right? The salary is paltry. Actually, it's less than paltry. It's zero. There's no advancement. Vacation days are nil, unless you count the second Sunday in May. But even then, you're on duty. So why would anyone take on such a position? By any logical standard, it's an insane proposition. But logic has nothing to do with it. One heartfelt kiss, one enthusiastic hug, one spontaneous, I love you, Mommy, is all you need to be assured it's worth it. Every moment, every diaper, every skinned knee, every disobeyed curfew, every tear, every smile, every sigh, every moment. So consider this a shout out to every mom fulfilling an impossible job description by the grace of God. Consider this a thank you for every mom who has did her best and wishes she had done better. To every mom who is doing her best and wondering how to do better, you're giving yourself. There's no better. You've been entrusted with a precious life, and there's nothing more valuable. You're raising children who will be doctors and lawyers and plumbers and electricians, future florists and administrators and firefighters and law enforcement officers, future teachers and social workers and athletes and decorators, future janitors and zookeepers and hairstylists and photographers, future dads and moms and future moms. Most important of all, you have the opportunity to raise children to know and trust the Lord as their creator, savior, and Lord. Their refuge, guide, and strength. Their hope, help, and provider. You gave them earthly life, and you have the privilege of leading them to receive eternal life. Thank you to every mom in every family in every home. Happy Mother's Day. I thought that was really good. Are you thankful for your mother today? Do you see how she can be a role model for you as you become like Jesus? Are you gentle and cherishing like a mother? Are you affectionate and giving like a mother? And lastly, are you laboring and toiling like a mother? Are you being like a mother as you seek to become like Jesus? Father, we thank you for this challenge, this passage. We thank you for our moms, for all that you've done in and through them. We've helped us to honor them today, but we thank, help us to become more and more like Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.